Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 140. Damn that Al Cooper is a ugly woman.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
And Anvil.
Can I ask you guys something?
No.
No! Okay, maybe.
Why are some of our favorite celebrities from our childhood dropping dead?
Because, remember, our childhood was like 20 years ago, and they were old when, you know, we watched them.
I know, but still, it's like... First, Adam Yauch, and now Maurice Sendak, the author of Where the Wild Things Are.
And then we also had...
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Hey, that's an...
Fuck that book.
Wait. There was also, you know, a few others that died this week. The voice of the Red Sox?
Yes.
That was tragic, and I was at the game that they had no announcing.
Of course. And the guy that created the Cobra car.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, FNX was supporting them, not supporting him, but more or less dedicating the show for him for today, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, nice. You know, people that we grew up listening to or made great innovations are dying.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they are getting up there in age.
Yeah, that's the scary thing.
Except for Adam, he was still very young. He was, 47?
Yep.
Considering my mom's 49.
My concept is shit happens. That's basically how I understand this now.
But then also one of his favorite, performers will die, and he will throw a temper tantrum.
Oh, dude, you know how I was feeling when fucking George Carlin died? I was not fucking happy.
Don't talk about that. It still hurts.
Rodney Dangerfield was another one that hurt.
John Candy.
Dude, that was way back then.
I still
feel bad that John Candy died.
Yeah. I love John Candy. I can't watch Canadian bacon, especially now with hockey the way it is. Oh, he called it.
Canadian beer sucks, and I just want a full-scale riot. Yeah. I really do. I just want to see that happen.
You see, I've always imagined that John Candy would have gone into more dramatic roles. I felt he would have done a great job with it.
Apparently there is some kind of script that he read or something like that. It's called the curse script or some shit like that.
I know which one you're talking about. It's like about he was going to play like an Eskimo of sorts. Something like that.
Chris Farley also saw it, so he died. And James, what's his name? Jim, no. The guy screams a lot, the comedian there.
Jim Carrey?
Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison, thank you. Sam Kinison also looked at it, too, and he died.
Yeah, the script was so old that even John Belushi looked at it. No lie. John Belushi looked at this script, and then he died as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they should just burn the script.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where they were trying to go for a character that was heavyset, and it seemed like...
Ooh, they should give it to Tyler Perry!
I hope so. As long as Michael J. White doesn't look at it.
There's a few people that, keep away from Chuck Norris, some of our favorites. They could give it to Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer could survive it.
I don't know, because he got fat.
He did get a little chunky.
Now, from some of the previews we saw,
Arc.
John Goodman looked damn good.
Yeah.
Considering, yes.
John Goodman looks like a damn good man.
I mean, especially when I just watched Babe Ruth the other day with him in it, and I was just like, damn, he looks horrible. And now, like, if you see him, he's a bit skinnier. He's not, like, I mean, he's just a big guy in general. He's a big, you know, bone person, so you can't really... Right. You couldn't make him skinny if you tried. But
like, if you saw him in the movie The Artist, yeah. Like, he actually looked very healthy in that movie.
Yeah.
Well, considering, he, as of this year, he's 60.
No, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
On June 20th of this year, he'll turn 60 years old.
I mean, look at him. He survived Roseanne. I mean, that's he's a hardcore man.
He survived King Ralph.
Actually... Actually, there's some kind of new show or something like with Tom Hanks or actually a movie or something like that. I guess it was Pool Guys or something like that. And he goes, oh, yeah, I got to show you my Emmy or something like that. He's like, I almost got Roseanne's name scratched off the fucking trophy.
I hate Roseanne. The other morning, you know...
Completely reminds me of my mother.
Yeah.
Just picture that, but about 10 times more annoying her. With Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, actually, last week I couldn't sleep, so I woke up, I turned on the TV, and Roseanne was on. I'm like,
no!
I'll try to fall asleep! Wait, I'll try to fall asleep!
Is it the old show, or is that weird show where she, like, has a nut farm?
No, the old show, the old Roseanne show. And this is with the first Becky, not the second Becky.
I forget, which one was the hotter Becky?
I think it was the second Becky that was the hotter one. The second Becky went on to be on Scrubs.
I can't remember.
Right! Now I remember her.
She's the hotter one.
Yes.
Wait. Was that the first Becky was like the one with the black hair or something?
No. She was still blonde, but she was kind of funny looking. And then the second one went on to be on, you know, that hot blonde on Scrubs.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you still had Sarah Gilbert, who was still ugly as shit.
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, why were you thinking about her?
I don't know. I liked her a little bit more. I don't care. I'd go for, like, goth girls or something. Well, like that. She kind of resembled a goth girl, so...
You know, she had that other hot, but not her.
You see, I like a good goth girl so long as she doesn't have that really dark personality. If she just got the look...
So you want a goth girl, not an emo.
I like them frail and pale. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll get more onto frail and pale later on in the show.
Yes, definitely, really? Indeed, sir.
Yes.
But yeah, why don't we go right into the theater aspect of our... Yes, we did theater.
Yes.
Shut up.
We do theater from time to time. At least I do. I mean, I do report on it. Like, I was the only person ever to give a bad review for that John Malkovich play that he was in.
Well, how the hell can you do a concept of John Malkovich when you gotta, like... I like the whole concept of the This is Malkovich, being John Malkovich, or is this...
No.
John Malkovich. Okay.
Starring John Malkovich, and it was called The Infernal Comedy, and he played Jack Unterweger, this, like, serial murderer who was going on a book tour straight out of hell. And, like, all these people all across the globe were giving it raving reviews, calling it one of the most best plays ever. Bullshit.
So people were probably getting... cocaine and candy and a lot of other things to get in the van.
Wait, we weren't getting these.
I don't know. He like spoke for 20 minutes and then the rest of the 80 minutes was like just really bad drawn out opera music.
I'm going to put it like this. We would have given it a really good review if they gave us a really cool basket full of really cool shit.
Possibly. But we still try not to do so much on the bias aspect. Well, and not get paid off.
It depends on
I don't get trying to get paid off here.
No. We don't get paid off.
I mean, we take gifts as not as gratuities, but gifts. But, you know.
Well, if the
We take thank you gifts. We don't take...
Listen, if that bottom of the basket is lined with $100 bills, we're taking...
I'm not... I don't know, man.
Stacks I have some $10,000.
No, not good enough.
It was good. Shh.
Bam. Well, anyway, this play here, Ghostwriter, written by Michael Hollinger. Going into it, I was very surprised by this play. At first of all, I did not expect it to be what it was.
Well, explain to everybody where we saw this and everything first.
Well, we saw this in the Merrimack Repertory Theater. It's final weekend there, so by the time you hear this, it's going to be closed. So,
Saturday.
Yeah, it's today's Saturday when we record this, even though it's, you know, Tuesday when you're hearing it. But
today they're doing two shows, and tomorrow they're doing their final of the season.
Right.
And actually, you know, they're over by Lowell Memorial Auditorium.
And the Songbook Arena.
Well, no, they're actually attached
to... Right. But I'm just saying, it's in the vicinity of the Songbook Arena.
Yeah, because that was the area that we went after that to get couple drinks or something like that.
Yeah.
But basically, we got there. It's on East Merrimack Street. It's a nice, intimate, small theater.
Very intimate.
Very intimate. We had to sandwich each other while sitting in those seats. Just picture these two bastards being, like, the buns and me the meat patty. That's what it was like.
And not in a gay porno reference.
No, no. He kept saying, I feel like a Boca burger. It's like, really, dude? You feel like a vegetarian burger? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Because as you point out, I'm a skinny fuck.
Yeah, so what? You're a skinny fuck, but you eat, like, everything else under the sun. You're like, I want veal. Okay, you sick bastard, you French fuck. Anyway.
They only kill the baby cows that did hard crimes.
How the hell are they supposed to do hard crime?
They're chained from birth.
They're chained from birth. They can't go off and kill a bunch of kids in a school bus or something.
Exactly,
like that.
That's why they're chained, because they did those crimes.
All right, we're not going to get into this.
Don't make me come over the table. Jesus. But back to the repertoire there.
So, we got there approximately, you know,
about 45 minutes to a half hour early.
Yeah, we grabbed some beer, we sat down.
You can grab beer and sit down and drink. But I don't know if that was because of the fact that we're like, well, this place is going to get ripped up anyways. Fuck it, go ahead and have some drinks.
No, probably this is how it's always been.
Now, they do start renovations on Monday to, you know, make the theater a little bit better, more comfortable seats.
Yep.
The seats weren't bad.
That was the thing, was the elbow room was the biggest aspect of it. Like, I was intimate with the guy that was on the right side of me. I was like, hi, I didn't want to know you this way. I'd never seen you in my life, but sorry.
That's why I'm glad I had the aisle seat, because I could lean over a little bit more.
Did you at least put your leg out to, like...
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because that's...
Until the guy in front of me pushed my foot backwards so he could put his wine on the floor.
Yeah.
Ah, what a dick. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
I just think there was that one guy that was behind us when the show was over, and he was just like, he's like, wow, that guy was a dick. He looked at his phone or something.
It really ruined the moment.
For
all
of 2 seconds, I was just like, wow, were you really in that moment?
There was actually only 3 minutes left in the entire play.
Yeah, that's when the guy pulled it out. He was just like, he ruined it. He was just like, it's all over.
Yep.
And I just gave the guy
I'm going to give a bad review because of that.
But when I first heard about Ghost Rider, I originally thought that it was going to be
kind of
after
like
the fact.
Kind of like a playoff of the whole movie that, you know, that got done. The one with
it's two totally different things beforehand. I initially thought it was going to be the story of what happens after this writer passed away, and Myra, played by Rebecca Harris, trying to convince everybody that she is ghostwriting for this guy. He's speaking to her from the dead. But it's totally different.
The concept really that I was seeing was the fact is she got the job, you know, and she was able to explain, you know, it was kind of an awkward starting, I would have to say. For me it was an awkward starting, because I'm not usually used to theater. I'm used to like this big opening and music and all this other bullshit because I watch too many movies. Mm-hmm. For the most part, but she sits at the desk, she, you know, she finally looks up and she starts, you know, just talking, and then she pauses. She's trying to get you into the whole concept of listening to her. And off in the distance, you can see the male actor there.
Franklin Woosley, played by Dan Kremer.
Dan Kremer, yeah, okay. So I was actually thinking that guy was actually a statue at one point, because he stood so still for... I have to give that guy props for standing so still for so long while she was doing her introduction.
Yeah.
But more or less, the concept was she's telling you this story kind of in the after fact, in the middle of it, but yet they're giving you the flashbacks when they're actually doing the acting in front of you, which is pretty impressive, and I felt that. They did a fantastic job with that. But to go with the story, it was... She was explaining the fact that he did so many things that she got to the point that she was used to hearing him, or there were certain things that when he did them, she was able to still keep going along. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was interesting because it got to the point where he actually needed to hear the typing so then he could go into the actual, you know?
Yeah, because of the mystery phrase that she would type that... No, we still don't know what the mystery phrase was.
Yeah, and somebody that we know doesn't want to tell us, but that's just perfectly fine. I could understand.
Yes.
I call theater shenanigans on that one, but anyways.
Yeah. No. Theater shenanigans was what was happening up in the balcony before the show even began.
No.
We don't discuss that stuff.
That's either here or there.
Exactly. We won't discuss what happened.
Then how come you brought it up if you won't?
You're a jerk. Anyways.
Moving on.
But for the most part, like, the story, as it goes, it
I was expecting, you know, a bit more action, but it's basically staged in one room. It was the
actual whole entire time, and it was like flashback sequences of what was happening.
And it was basically like the fourth floor apartment of this building, so he could look out the window and see that, but also be away from the noise from down below. And the concept was, is he talked, she typed, you know, and it got to the point where she just kind of was able to actually read him, and after the fact that he passes on and whatnot, she's able to still keep and try to finish off his story.
Right.
But also they did have funny, you know, little aspects in it because of the fact of certain, like, writing things. I mean, I couldn't understand the whole concept of it myself because I came from Lynn Public Schools. But for the most part, I did understand, you know, the whole aspect of her going, you know, like, clicking semicolon, you know, like, she would do one specific click, you know, just to make sure that he knew, you know, to make fun of him. But, yeah, it was pretty cool, like, the whole design of the actual, you know, the theater setup, like, they had the you know, the tea, they had the phonograph, they had, you know, the phone. I was very impressed with that whole setup. They did a fantastic job with the actual stage. And also the backing, like, the I want to say the second wall, because that's the one that you can see in the background. Like, yeah. You see the first wall. If you're looking from left to right, let's just say that.
Okay.
You see the first wall as you're on your left, second wall is in the back, and then you see the right wall. And then you're the fourth wall because you're looking in on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole setup that they had and whatnot was on that second wall, you could see the concept, like, this screen. But also, mm-hmm. there's a light in the background of the wall, which also kind of gave the whole, you know, that whole scene depth. So it's kind of cool.
Now, did you notice how there was a couple of little things during the play happening? There were a couple of little details that I liked about this play. One specific one was, if you notice, when she was typing, and it was supposed to be her getting the notes from the ghost of Franklin, you could notice how the lamp hanging from above her was, like, starting to turn, like, clockwise.
I did not notice that, because apparently there's probably ghosts there. Yeah. I did not see any concept of movement. I mean, that thing was rigged up. I can't see how they could have moved it, but okay. If you say so.
Could have been wind.
It could have been, like, a little fan behind it.
Something like that, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember seeing that. I was just mainly watching the actress.
Well, I pay attention to a lot of the details that happen behind, too. It's
that's what I was paying attention to, too. But I noticed that the photograph was real. The teapot was real. You know, all that other stuff. Because I was hearing it go off. I was hearing
when they actually poured the, you know, the tea.
They could actually see the steam.
Now, we also have to tell everybody that the way this play was done is Franklin's wife actually sent somebody, because she's trying to prove that Myra is a fraud. So the entire time she's explaining everything to this gentleman, or
actually us,
who wants to be in us.
Yes.
So the entire time
she's addressing us. She's trying to offer us tea. And I was like, I was just about ready to go up and be like, I can't take some tea. Give me tea.
I know. It's like, would you like some tea?
She was like, she was kind of like adamant about it. I was like, okay, I'll take some tea just to shut you up. Give me the tea.
And then they didn't give us tea. She's been talking about putting sugar in the tea. I'm like, I want sugar in my tea. Let's go. Didn't give me tea.
But, my goddamn teeth out, woman. No.
But altogether, this play, they did a fantastic job with this. The writing was great. The banter.
I had to bust balls with the duck here because I was like, dude, how are you going to do a 3-man show? Like,
the really? Same as you do a 2-person show or a 1-man show.
I couldn't fathom it. Like, I really couldn't, because of the fact that, you know, the main actress, you know, she had the most saying out of everything in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the actor was able to, Franklin was able to, you know, he was able to step in once in a while to explain about the story that he was talking about at the time. Because I guess we went through like 3 or 4 different novels. It went through, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Maybe even more. No, it was more than that, wasn't it?
It was 4 years between his last one and the one that he died doing, so...
Yeah, so I guess it must have been... Maybe a 10-year span, yeah. They had to do that around there. But for the most part, like, the wife that came in, she was probably one of the most random characters because it was either her calling the phone, which they never answered in the first place.
Yes.
Or it was her kicking in the door going, well, what are you doing? Or she was busting balls with the main actress there to just, you know, find out if they were cheating or something along the lines. But I have to say altogether, this is just damn interesting. I wish we could have gotten this done beforehand and said, hey, go and check it out, and, you know. But
right.
For the most part, they're going to do a little bit of renovation, but next year they're going to have it up and running again and whatnot.
I'm trying to talk these two into going to see Glengarry and Glenn Ross, which I think they would really enjoy.
Well, I mean, I know we'll probably, want to put a few shows next year just because this show was so good that, it actually got me interested in seeing some more theater. And just everybody there was great. From the house manager, John, who we actually had a chance to speak with for a little while.
Yep.
I had to chill with him, man. No,
so, all in all, they did a great job. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Altogether, what would you give a grade for this play, for Ghost Rider?
Well, for the way they performed and everything, I'd give it a 4.6 out of 5.
I would give it about the same.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards a 4.8. Yeah, I was impressed with it. I mean, because of the fact that you always have to take into initiative that it's like, what did they have for money, retrospect, for budget to kind of put this all together? I mean, you've got three actors, and you got the stage hands behind helping and whatnot, and you got everything to go together. And
yep.
For them to put this together for about an hour and a half show, I was pretty damn impressed, and that was a pretty good show. And
the time flew by very well.
Yeah, it wasn't... I mean, the woman that was seating us and stuff like that, she was like, well, you're going to be there for for the whole hour and a half. There is no intermission, so you could stand up and walk around and blah, blah, blah. I was like, thank you, but the only thing is I sat there for 2.5 hours to watch Avengers, so I think I'm good here. I know the seats weren't as it's not as comfortable. I mean,
well, that's why I went to 4.6. I'm taking the entire atmosphere into consideration,
right?
And
and it's not like when we saw Cabaret where we had the nice bar seats.
See, even though that was still a little bit cramped, I mean, they were not that nice of bar seats. I mean, they were kind of like, they had the small rounded, seats and stuff like that. So.
But they were how they were in the 1940s.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, that's my main concept is like, with the seats that they have, like, when we went to, the Wilbur Theater for the comedy act? Oh, yeah. My God, we had our, Anvil and I had our friggin', like, our knees right in our chest the whole time.
Yep.
And it was, as much as a laugh riot it was, we couldn't breathe half the time. But, I mean, it gets to the point where you got to think the concept of back then, they had small people. And if you were really big back then, you would just basically, they'd give you probably, if you were lucky, a sides chair or just say stand. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, so all in all, great show. I wish I had more leg room. But that was the least of our, least concern, because they did a phenomenal job with the show.
Uh-huh.
And as a combined, it looks like we're going to give it a 4.7 out of 5.
Yeah, as an average, yeah.
Yep.
Which, for people that aren't theater people.
Besides one of us in the room.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
And they did such a great job that, I know me and Blue said that we wouldn't mind to actually check out some more shows next season.
Yep.
As long as there's gas money involved. I'll go.
So.
God damn it. Will they just come along with, something cheaper and better in technology finally? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of slavery.
Yes.
I know.
For the most part. Just, But it's. But that's the thing. It's like we went from Lynn, Massachusetts, up to Lowell.
Yes.
And it's kind of a weird ride because you got to go south to go north. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. I think we got to go south twice to go north. It's weird.
There could be pedal mobiles.
Yeah, right. You know what I was thinking was a great idea was those goddamn, the balloons you'd be filled with air and the race cars. That was a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's going to blow up the friggin' thing every time?
Him.
I don't have the lung capacity for that.
You're French. You should.
I know, that's what we hire hookers for. They're great at doing blowing. Anyways, for the most part. On to the next part, sports. Talking about blowing.
The Red Sox.
Yeah, blow. The Red Sox have been blowing, and I mean, especially, I got to go the other night with my nephew for the first, you know, time for him to go to a Red Sox game and whatnot.
And Josh Beckett sucks.
Yeah.
What is going on with Josh Beckett?
I'm sorry,
Josh Beckett. The rhetoric was awesome.
Listen, we need to get rid of Josh Beckett. I watched his post-game interview. He's like, what I do on my days off is what I do. Just because they stopped me from pitching due to a leg injury and I went and played golf the very next day. We only get 18 days off a year. Dude, you're a starting pitcher. You pitch every 5 days. Man up. If I ever said that to my football coach, I'd be cut.
Or shot.
Hey, coach, I have an owie. I can't play today. Man up! Unless you have a major concussion or your leg is, at a doctor's office. Well, even if it's bent backwards, they might still, wrap you up and let you play. But, I mean, I've played with breaks in my hand. Broken ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember that game. I could barely breathe. But you know what? All these athletes are little punks. And, I'm just trying to be really nice. You know what? I'm going to put it like this. They're little bitches. They make all this money to play a game
that, like, most people would kill to just go out and play. I mean, and if they're, I mean, okay, I give it to the fact that sometimes guys have bad days.
Of course.
There's always that, but if this guy has been having this bad of a streak, altogether, maybe you drop him down to the fucking Pawtucket Sox for a little while.
I mean, there's some guys.
And have him fucking wake up and go, hey, this is, this is going to be the rest of your life if you don't fucking smarten up.
I mean, there's guys out there on our team, and I will put it, their names out there, who are busting their butts every day. Pedroia. Ortiz. Gonzo goes out there, and you see him trying as hard as he can. Middlebrook, he's still young. I haven't seen much, too much to, say get rid of Youkilis because he's, not even 10 games into his major league career? At the end of a season, we could talk.
Yeah.
Salty still needs some work.
Yeah, he does. He definitely does.
That's one thing why they should have brought Veritek back for another year to work with these young guys. They got rid of him too soon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, this whole remodeling of the whole team has been, like, when they pop up on, when I was popping up on the screen, I was like, who the fuck is that guy? I actually know more players on the Indians
than on our own team.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh, there's Pedroia. Wait, why is he... Didn't he used to be on the Red Sox? I was like,
Johnny Damon?
It was Damon, Kochman. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, this is not cool. I know more Indian guys than I do. This is not cool.
The sad part is, I'm a little worried if we get rid of Youkilis, it's going to be another Rich Gedman, Carlton Fisk situation. Rich Gedman lasted 4 years. Carlton Fisk went to the White Sox, played another 12 years, and went into the Hall of Fame. Because nothing's been proven to me yet with this, Middlebrook kid. Yeah, he's hit with power, but you know what? He's not showing me a ton.
Yeah.
We need our outfielders back. Carl Crawford needs to come back and actually hit. Ellsbury needs to get back here and produce.
Agreed.
Considering I don't know our outfield.
Yeah, who the hell's number 23? Because I think he was, like, the only one that was actually doing any work out there because he kept on getting the major outs that when I was at the game on Thursday.
Yeah. And also, what we need to do is when, Dyce... Because Dyce is almost ready to come back.
Really? Yeah. Finally?
Finally.
Well, he's been... Remember, he had Tommy John surgery. Yeah. He had Tommy John surgery. He's making some rehab starts. He's got one more rehab start before he should come up here. Move Bard back to the bullpen. Don't get me wrong. He's a good starting pitcher. The game that you and me went to, he went, six innings solid before, giving up runs.
But that was the thing. When I went to this game Thursday, let's put it this way. Beckett lasted only not even, like, halfway through the fourth.
I know.
And that was pathetic. And it seemed also, I think they went through almost all their pitchers that night because it seemed like every inning was a new pitcher. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, Miller comes out. And I was like, yes, Miller time. And then the next inning, who the hell's that? And then the next inning, what the fuck? Didn't we just have that other pitcher in? What the fuck? What is that? And then it got to the point where it was the seventh, and I was like, I don't even know who the hell that pitching either.
Honestly, I think Daniel Bard can only help our bullpen, which is a big struggle. And maybe, you know, a couple years down the road when we can bolster our, you know, pen and stuff, we can move Bard back out, but we need him in the bullpen. Because, I mean, we won two games in a row with him in the bullpen. He comes back out, starts pitching, we start slacking again.
Yep.
We need that arm in the bullpen. But we also need to start hitting, too.
Yeah, the bats need to start coming alive because...
But, I mean, even last night, the bats came alive in our win, but the, you know...
But, the defense effed everything up, and they almost ended up losing. And what was it 7-4 or 7-5? 7-5, yeah.
7-5.
All right, so, but when I was at the game also, there was two chances. They had two bloody chances because of the fact that there was men on base and all that other fun stuff, and maybe one guy ran in after one or two things, but the bases were still loaded, and they couldn't do a bloody thing with it. And it ended up with the three outs, and I was just, it was kind of depressing. I was like, what the hell's going on here? I was like, this wasn't the Sox from, you know, 07 or even before that. It's getting to that point where it's like, well, what's going on here?
I've seen better Little League games. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that little leaguer that turned the unassisted triple play, come on.
Yeah, that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's G. But all in all, they need to pick it up. He's right at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But it's still early, so.
Wicked bottom.
We're actually one of the worst teams in baseball right now.
You think?
Really? We're back again. No, just kidding.
We lost series to, you know, Baltimore, Oakland, and Kansas City. We lost a series to Kansas City.
The Royals? We lost to the Royals?
Yes.
We took one out of three.
Oh, God damn it.
Yep. The Royals royally fucked us.
But, you know what? Let's get off of that. Because, you know what? We're only going to get angry talking about it. Let's go on to stuff that actually makes us happy to talk about. The Celtics, you know, they've been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. Game 6 was Thursday night.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay away from the Celtics, actually. I'll let them, I'm not going to watch them. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to just not watch them, and hopefully good things happen.
I've said in the beginning that the first team that wins this year's championship is going to be like the first city that's going to forgive the whole NBA lockout situation.
I still will not forgive it.
Yeah, I don't. I still can't. I'll be like, oh yeah, the partial champions of 2012. I mean, 2011 to 2012.
I still will always root for Boston no matter what.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And they wound up beating the Atlanta Hawks to advance the next round where they're going to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. That should be a tough matchup, but I think they can hold well with them. Mm-hmm. The Bulls are now out of it, which was a big favorite to win it.
Yep.
Now, the Heat need to be destroyed. But on the other side, the Clippers and the Lakers are now in Game 7s.
I would like to see the Clippers. Just
well, no, not against each other. Not against each other.
Oh.
But I'd like to see the Clippers win and, you know...
Lakers lose.
Basically league status, so yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool. But only time will tell what happens there. Hockey, there's going to be a Game 7 between the Rangers and the Capitals. Let's go Capitals.
What?
Hey, I don't want the Rangers to win. They're one of the original six.
Fucking Ovechkin.
But, you know, I'm still going to stick with my prediction of the, you know, Stanley Cup champions to be the LA Kings.
Oh, that's only because they have a really hot cheerleader.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh.
You're like, dude, check this girl out. Now I want to root for him. Yeah! Giggity, 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 go.
And speaking of hot girls and chili, that
is that a segue? Do I have a segue?
We've got a segue.
Yeah.
I'm glad you took my segue. They announced a new league that's going to be starting up. Mm-hmm. Bikini hockey. Yes, beautiful women in bikinis playing hockey.
Yeah, and it's not going to be like, you know, the whole...
lingerie football.
No.
Which is extremely hot.
Well, no, their whole main concept is not to be lingerie football.
Instead of slugging it out, they have pillow fights.
No, they should do that. They should have it on the sides as pillows.
They drop gloves and pillows come out and just like, they bring them out on like a little like silver platter and they just beat the shit out of each other with them.
But they have to be feather pillows when they break this awesome...
So there's going to be, like, you know, syrup, too, so there's a tarring, feathering aspect to it. Oh. But I definitely say, you know, I agree with the whole concept of bikini hockey. Very interesting set.
Yes.
They should also have lingerie baseball and bikini basketball.
Dude, basketball, the guys would be like, what was that movie where the guys were, like, holding hot dogs and they were just shot out because of the fact that they squeezed them too hard? That's basically what, because of basketball, like, they just, the ball would be bouncing, but also two things on their chest would be bouncing at the same time.
You know what? I'm going to send this to one of our dear lesbian friends and see what she thinks about it.
Which one?
She's going to hang it up by the balls.
Our drummer friend from Hunter Valentine, Laura.
Yeah, when are they coming around here?
She said pretty soon. As soon as she tells me, you will know.
Because, you know...
We still have to fulfill
That's the last time that I have to, you know, get tormented by this one.
But yes, bikini hockey.
Who rugby? That'd be fucking amazing.
just girls pushing each other.
Yeah, and the full thing.
You two in the bathroom.
My bathroom is too small for what you're thinking about doing.
Yeah, you'd break it. Anyways.
You'd be like, ow, 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 my fist.
Oh, you
hear it? Somebody knocking at the front door?
Shut up! I'm trying to concentrate.
That's what mobile porn is for. Yay! So wrong, sir. So
and that's
wrong.
That's what the iPad's for, too.
That's probably, you know, half your memory, right?
No. I just have one Suicide Girls thing.
Yeah!
Also in sports, the Patriots opened rookie training camps this weekend. So all the rookies get to go out there, meet the coaches, start learning their playbook without all the veterans there. Which is, you know, a big thing. You know, we got some really good guys. We signed 7 unrestricted, you know, players who were not drafted. Hopefully they can help us out a little bit more. But we'll just all have to wait and see.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a waiting game. I see, that's one thing that's pissing me off is that the games don't officially start in what, until September? I think September 8th or September 9th or something like that.
Fuck you. I know the pregame stuff is...
Yeah, well, that's August, the pregame stuff. But
the season itself... There's going to be lots of waiting for the Patriots.
Well, at least it's not like they're doing a whole clean sweep of the team like the Red Sox did, but, you know, come on.
At least the key players are still intact.
Yeah.
That's the important thing.
The best part is I won't have to wait that long for football because I will be playing.
Yes.
In the summer leagues.
Yes.
Actually, I've been thinking about maybe... over in Saugus, they have the hockey place. I mean, I did play street hockey with them for a little bit, but I was also thinking about doing lacrosse since my nephew was playing, but I don't know. I might end up picking somebody up, though.
That's why I can't play, but, you know, your nephew needs to get on that stuff about the Friday night street hockey league.
Yeah.
So we can get out there and get some playing in.
Agreed.
Fun.
And then we can report on here. All right, let's move on.
We got our ass whipped again. No, that's all I was remembering from when we were playing at that.
Yeah, but see, your ex-brother-in-law was our goalie. Yeah, he refused to let me play goal.
I played goalie one night. I let 13 by because my team sucked.
Yeah, but remember that one night that, you know, you and me were playing defense, we stopped a lot of shots from getting to him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I kept catching him right in the, you know, legs, basically.
This is the one that I took off the forehead.
What do you mean?
I jumped.
Oh, you can't help that. Your thing's huge.
I jumped. You can't tell where that starts and begins. And it wound up raising up and caught me square in the forehead. And it kept it from going in. And all you hear is everybody start laughing because I'm like, and I'm a righty, trying to play with a left hand stick that night.
Yeah, that was funny.
I'm like,
yeah. All you can do is walk around with a stick. He's like, I'm a big man with a small stick.
Yeah, and it was very short.
Wait, is that code for something?
No!
No. The hockey stick was short and left-handed. And do not...
Not that sense. No sexual innuendo implied.
All right,
much.
Let's move on to video games.
Well, didn't you want to talk about MMA or Case Titan?
There's nothing really. What, man, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
because I already wrote about it on the website.
Well,
but
we wrote about it.
We all wrote about it, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we all gave our opinions.
Somewhat. I don't know. Hey, if I gave my real opinions about some of the people in the crowd, I might have gone into a fight. I would have known the Plymouth PD a little bit closer.
The woman that was screaming behind me, piercing my skull.
Hey, she wanted to make sweet, sweet love to your skull.
No, she didn't. She wanted to keep screaming.
I said with her voice.
Yeah. That was definitely penetrating. Anyways, but for the most part, Cage Titans was definitely, you know, was a great event, although still kind of PO'd about what started off with it. But
it's okay. I mean, Mike always puts on a great show, and everybody else over there, you know, Brandy, Doug, all them. You know, we got to see our great friends from Get Punched, Matt, Sarah. You know, always great seeing them.
We did have one controversial fight, but also I did feel that because of the fact that I saw Peter Barrett. Because there was a whole controversy that they said that the referee stopped it, but the referee was trying to hold the fight because Peter Barrett's mouthpiece. And I kind of that's what I was thinking, because when I saw him going back to the cage, I saw him putting his hand up to his mouth trying to put his mouthpiece back in, and I saw the referee jumping it. I went, "Whoa, what the hell happened there?" And but of course we were near the crowd that was for the other side, whoever I can't remember off the top of my head who was fighting him. But yeah, I was with a lot of those people that, and they were kind of like, "That's bullshit," and there was a lot of booing going on. Let's
you
guys put
had
it that
a better
way.
Vantage point than I did, because I was actually on the stage at that point, getting ready to walk with one of the guys from TPS down.
Yeah, Jeff Watts.
Mm-hmm.
And
he learned his lesson.
We were watching from a screen that was backwards.
Yeah, that was the funny thing. I was just like, wait a second. He's going left. Why is the screen going right? What the fuck?
Well, no, you guys had it in the right direction. We could see it from the backside.
No. At one point, I think they effed up. Like, the first four or five fights,
yeah.
I could tell that. Because
it was mirrored.
When Rich O walked off the stage to the left, when you looked at the screen, he walked off to the right. And it was like, what the hell's going on with this thing?
Bizarro world!
Well, they fixed that, and we were watching it the way that everybody did the first two fights on the other side, so when Peter Barrett...
But I do have to say that this time they did a better job with getting the actual cameras to signal it to the system to project it up on the screen.
Yes.
This
yes.
time they did a better job at doing that, so they're getting better little by the whole setup, so...
Yep.
They had a great, fight setup. I have to say the heavyweight thing. I really want to get into it. I know it's amateur, but damn it, I really want to get into it. I want to piss off that whole family.
That was kind of a sad fight to watch.
It was like there was a lot of overreacting. Let's just put it that way. The stuff I want to say right now is I would be a comedian on the stage right now because of how funny it was. If I could have recorded what was going on and play it in slow motion... And then do the so where the woman like okay let's all right if you've watched the Terminator movie the concept all right the second one when Sarah Connor gets blasted away by the nuke and she's going aah! And she just like everything peels back
yep
picture that in slow motion and this is when her husband loses the match that's basically the explanation that I can explain to it because of the fact that. She was doing that, and then she was yelling, and then she looked like she wanted to collapse because she wanted to cry.
I wouldn't be too surprised if she tried to claw at one of the other guys.
Dude, the whole family was pissed.
All right, it's back to the cage. The other guy would be like, we'll move over to the right. All right.
Let's move on.
Fine.
The third time.
Fine. Let's move on to video games. Let's talk about... The first demo, a demo that we got to try out at PAX East, and Anvil finally got to play this past weekend for Spec Ops The Line, my pick for best in show at PAX East. What's so funny?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
It's a secret.
Come on.
It's a secret. Don't worry about it.
You douche.
Bag.
Wibbler.
So, the demo in this game gave you the prologue, Chapter 1, and Chapter 5. Of Spec Ops The Line.
To confuse the living hell out of you.
So you start off in a helicopter battle, which then turns into a survival in a sandstorm while it's happening. And then you crash and it goes earlier.
Yeah.
Which then you find out about the story, how you're trying to find Conrad, a soldier that was in Dubai trying to evacuate people, and it turns into a whole Heart of Darkness Apocalypse Now situation.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that they're using Joseph Conrad. Sorry. It's, you know, it's pretty cool, like, they're doing that, you know. I mean,
yes. But
for the most part, yeah, this is definitely an interesting game setup. I mean, at least this time I was able to actually play the whole thing through. I mean, I got about, well, we kind of switched off with each other.
Yes.
When we're playing between Tag, you and I.
Yeah, I played, like, the prologue of Chapter 1, then you played, like, a bit of Chapter 5, but then we had to go to
and then we passed it off, then we had to go to, yeah, so... And we didn't get to play the whole thing, but when I was able to sit there and play it, it felt like it was a little bit shorter. It wasn't, I felt like, oh,
you know why?
Because there was that guy in the line that was like, oh my god, the beauty is here, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, we booked this way in advance, so F you. But, yeah, for the most part, yeah, it got to that point where it was pretty badass and whatnot to play the game and sit there and actually enjoy it. You'd be able to see what was going on.
Yes.
I was playing on the second hardest, and I noticed that it was kind of hard to become my ammo and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just played it on the easy mode, but even then, still, the enemy AI is very, very difficult to attack, especially those that charge with knives. Those fuckers
won't
stand
out. Yes, the knife-wielding psychopaths. I love that. That's impressive. I mean, Anvil was impressed by that. What was it that you said? You were like, wow, that guy went down swinging or something like that.
Yeah, but I shot the dude in the face and he falls and the arm swings a couple more times before he hits the ground. Because, instead of wasting, you know, precious rifle ammo, I pulled up my sidearm, let him get close and shot him in the face and he went down swinging. Which was epic. The other guys, you know, were still kind of cool. You know,
how did you like the sniping on it?
Perfect. I was about to say the sniping, yeah. Which was kind of cool because most rifles that you use in other games, it's like, all right, this is a scope. This one actually lets you go from 8 to 16, so you can actually jump distances. It was
I was going to talk about Sniper Elite V2, like when you got to play that there is a setup for a couple of the scopes, like on the Stein Conveyor, as I call it, or the Guter, as I call it, because, you know, you always have to use a V when you're doing German, but... Mm-hmm. That setup is pretty awesome, where you could actually do like 4x, you know, magnification when you're playing that game, because it's World War II. But in this game, going from 6 to 18, it does help a lot with the shooting.
And you were sitting there, and you know, you were rappelling a few times. You were using zip lines, which a lot of games don't give you that often at all.
Mm-hmm.
And in this demo, I think I rappelled like 2 or 3 times in a zip line.
Well, concept of it is the fact that you're in Dubai, and Dubai just got wasted by this big friggin' sandstorm, and it does give you that aspect of, it's like, holy crap, how you're supposed to get from building to building. It's like, wait, there's a zip line, let's hop on that. But the funny thing is he's doing it with his hands and the gloves. I'm like, dude,
that's gonna hurt.
That would rip apart in 2 seconds, but that's just me.
Yes. What I still like about this game so far, because, you know, the full version doesn't come out until the end of June, it's a camaraderie between the three main soldiers. Just the banter they have back and forth. Like, sir, do you realize what type of shit is coming out of your mouth? No, sir, I do not.
I want to take my, what was it, 3-to-1 hot babes ratio over one dead white girl, girl in the chair or something like that.
Yeah, it's like...
It's 3-to-1 ratio of hot babes to corpses.
Yeah, there you go. That's
as you enter the bus, it was hilarious.
Yes. I'm feeling chafed, sir. Chafed? Yes, sir. I'm feeling something weird going on right between my pants.
No. It's like, we have, you know, an enemy attack going on. Where, sir? In my, it's called chafing. Well, where is this? In my pants. You know, it was hilarious.
It really reminded me. Have you two ever seen a movie called Three Kings?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr. and stuff, yeah.
No, Cuba Gooding Jr. wasn't in that.
No, this one was...
That was with Ice Cube.
It was
Ice Cube, George Clooney, and Mark Wahlberg.
Wow, I just got Ice Cube and Cuba Gooding Jr. confused. Oops.
You sucked.
Because that kind of reminded me of the camaraderie between the three soldiers.
Well, there's camaraderie among those guys, too. But it's
They're joking each other, they're ribbing each other, and then suddenly, bam!
The seriousness
comes up. Shit gets fucked up.
Yeah. But the aspect is like with the sand, like to go into the first part of that little demo aspect of it is
Like when they have the guys and they're looking at the beacon and they go, "Oh shit, we find a dead body of one of the soldiers from one of the units, the 33rd that they're looking for." And the funny thing is the body's fresh. It's like brand spanking new, you know, all that other stuff. But yet, you notice these bodies that were on the APC across the thing, they just stand up and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I think we're going to find out who the hell just did something. And they're yelling at you, and you find out that they're talking in Farsi, you look above them, and there's a bus that's full of sand. And it was cool because you could see that there was holes in the window, and there was sand, you know, dropping trickling out of it. And it was like, holy shit, that is cool. And then you shoot it, and you drop the whole bunch of sand right on top of the bastards. But, yeah.
In front of your mom.
Exactly. But for the most part, they did an awesome job on the aspect. I mean, when you looked at the whole concept of like the sand and how Dubai would look if it got ravaged by a sandstorm, yeah, I was there, but I doubt that would actually happen.
Yep.
Well, I mean, anything can happen, so.
Yeah, that's very true. Anything's possible in the line of war.
Yeah, watch, you know, them get hit by a friggin' tidal wave instead of a goddamn sandstorm.
I know, right? It's like, you know, a monsoon hits.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, wait, we haven't had rain in 50 years! We're all drowning.
There was one teeny tiny itsy bitsy issue I had with the control scheme, and it was when you take cover. I felt it would have been a little bit easier if you were to hurdle over what it is you're taking cover by pushing the exact same button and lifting up and, you know, pushing on the up
button. Yeah, but that would also be kind of like, I guess Gears of War. Gears of War had that kind of setup too, where you could just press the same button and drop them over. But that's the thing, is their control scheme. You gotta make it to what you think, but also, I bet they have a setup like when you get that, you'll be able to go to options and change it to whatever the hell you want to.
Yeah, but it would have been cooler if like you're running towards your cover, and if you hit the cover button and hit down, you slid into your cover.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what has been going on with Ghost Recon. We're playing the Future Soldier beta. They have a setup where their design is you can run, and it will, you know, kind of give you the slide aspect into the bunker. But not only that, you'll be able to hop over the same bunker, or otherwise, when you're looking out, you can see the spot where you want it because it's got a little arrow, and then you just hold down the A button, and it will run over to that spot. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, for a third-person aspect, but also to go to almost a first-person view, besides this, I think the only first-person shot was being done by the sniper rifle. Anything else was almost like side view or something like that, a zoomed-up side view in third person, so you can actually do the shooting and whatnot, so it give more concentration on the fire. But they did a great job on that. They did a pretty damn good job. I think the graphics are pretty phenomenal, especially even though the fact that they kind of give you like this whole setup at the starting of this, it's like none of this is going to be in the actual game or something. It was pretty funny, you know, like they said that not all of this will be in the game or something along those lines. It was pretty interesting, but for the most part, I enjoyed the demo yet again.
Really want to play this full game.
To be able to sit there and not have thousands and thousands of people behind you. because it does make it hard. I mean, they give you a good headset and whatnot to play the game to kind of give you that little closed-in feeling, you know, not to hear everybody, but trying to stand up and play the game when you want to really sit down and play it. But
yes.
Well, in all honesty, games that have been coming out lately, like Ghost Recon's, Spec Ops, and just all,
you know, the Call of Duties and Battlefields.
All these makes me actually just want to invest in an Xbox 360 and just start playing video games like you wouldn't believe.
Otherwise, you could knock out your brother and take it and be like, "Oh, look at the new Xbox I got. Oh, yeah, that's funny. Somebody stole mine."
Whoa. It's like, "Where'd you get yours?" Blue sold me one for $50.
$50 whole dollars.
Yep.
And come on, I get that 60-inch flat screen.
Yep.
That's high def. Mm-hmm. Imagine playing those games on that. I'd spend my entire night, it's like pitch black. Tango 1, we have a bogey.
Shit. Yeah, and then your nephew rips the controller out of your hands and does everything else better than you. Mm-hmm.
I know, and
I'll
he's
laugh. Too. I'll laugh.
Yes.
Well, come on. You know, my nephew does play Madden. Yeah.
All right, so let's give this a rating, and then
I give it a 4.8 out of 5.
4.3. I have to say around 4.3 because there was a little bit of the aspects I can kind of agree with the controlling aspect, but for the most part, as of a demo, it was pretty damn good.
I'll give it 4.5.
Yeah.
So on average, we'll call it 4.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty good.
So next.
Alright, so I know you two didn't get a chance to play this demo.
Actually, we chose not to play
this demo. Yeah, you guys chose not to. And maybe it was a good thing. Kinect Star Wars.
Okay.
Everybody's been shitting on this game so much.
It's just too easy. But this is the problem is if we were to have played this game back in the early like 90s or late 80s, they would think it was the fucking balls.
Yes.
Because of the fact that you can move and, you know, it's recording your movement and stuff like that. And they'd be like, oh, this is fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. But seeing that we've had so much great other games and all this other fun stuff, we need more.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
So, in this demo, they gave you the chance to play a level of three of the games that that are in the game itself. Pod Racing, Rancor Rampage, and Jedi Destiny.
How many times did you crash in Pod Racing?
100 million.
Like 4 or 5.
Million.
I felt, first of all, that the track paths could have been laid out more clearer. Because I found myself finding myself getting off track very easily. Like, because they weren't telling me where exactly I have to go, so I would, you know, I would be, like, in second or third place. Whoops, I hit this little area. Oh, fuck, there goes all the other guys. Now I'm in last place. Thanks a lot for not properly showing where I have to go.
Just to ask you, on the movement aspect, like, what did you have to hold out your hands to make it look like you're in a pod racer?
I had to do this for 4 minutes.
It looks like you're on a motorcycle.
Yes.
With ape hangers.
Yes.
I'm scared.
Imagine having to do this for 4 minutes straight, and then to do boost, you just go boom, like this.
I got a question.
Yes.
Why do I have a feeling that this is made in China?
Nope. Made by Terminal Reality, the same folks who did the awesome Ghostbusters video game.
Okay, because I was just about to say, I was thinking that it was going to be along the lines of Chinese water torture, or the concept of you having to hold up two buckets of water in front of you.
After a minute, my arms started feeling really sore, and I was stopping, the enjoyment just stopped of this.
Okay, pause, oh god, my arms!
Yeah, so, pod racing was meh, I'll put it in a meh. I mean, yeah, it looked good. It looked a teeny bit better than that pod racing arcade game that's been out since Star Wars Episode 1 came out in 1999.
Oh, god damn it.
But altogether, that one was meh. My favorite, though, has to be the second one I got to play, Rancor Rampage, where you're like this giant monster and you're running around, stomping, destroying cities, picking up humans and droids.
The original commercial for the Kinect, when it was Project Natal.
Yes.
When you go and do that and stuff like that, the whole concept of that, it looked like that little Godzilla thing that they did.
Yes!
I wanted them to actually take and
make a Godzilla.
I want them to bring Rampage back. That awesome game that you're able to break buildings. And I think if you could put that with Kinect, that would be
the same. That would be phenomenal. But this one here, Rancor Rampage, you know, it's not going to be as good as the original Rampage, but for what you can do, you walk around, it actually measures your movements. It actually can tell you when you're throwing a human or a droid, or when you're actually eating them. Oh. It's hilarious, too. It's like, you start hearing, like, the human as you pick them, it's like, oh, don't kill me, and then you put them in the monster, and you start moving around.
It's that big fucking monster from which Star Wars episode? Is that the one where he ends up in the pit or something like that? Yeah, Luke Skywalker?
No, that's a totally different one. That was a weird worm.
Like the same fucking thing. Not that pit worm. I'm talking about the other pit that...
Oh, that one! Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
So, that minigame is a blast. I think that's a perfect title to play when you're just pissed off and you want to destroy shit, but you have too much nice stuff around that you don't want to do that with.
Yeah. But the third one,
Jedi Destiny. This was the one where you're supposed to actually be like a complete Jedi, having the Jedi mind tricks and swinging the lightsaber. Bullshit. Half the time I was playing this game, it was either not responding or it was lagging. And it just pissed me off to no end.
I guess I could say I'm glad that we didn't try to stand in line for it to, over at, at the PAX East and stuff like that.
Well, it had been out anyway for the 2 weeks beforehand, so it's...
Wow, they really wasted a spot there, basically, for somebody else to, like, you know, use.
Yeah. So, I want to just make it quick because we just got one more thing to touch on before we end the show. I now understand why this game has been getting really bad reviews. It's just not good. I'll give it to Rancor Rampage, but everything else, it just made the experience not as fun. I'll give it a 2 out of 5.
Sounds it.
Alright.
Fantastic.
So should we just skip Minecraft?
See, if Cousin Tag was here, he'd be like, This show would have already been over because it would have gone so far along.
Yeah.
Because he was going to talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, it was...
It sucked.
It just... I don't know. It's just...
I feel like the PC version is going to be better.
The PC version is better. There is a PC version. And that's where it started originally. But it's just coming to the Xbox now. And I think the problem is people now want good graphics. They want a damn good game, and for me, I don't want a goddamn time vampire. I mean,
yeah,
I don't feel when I'm playing one of those games. Yeah, great, you might be learning stuff or whatever to build things, but you're not actually building it. It just builds in front of you, you know, or you just have an idea of putting everything together. Just I don't know. Like Tag has showed me like some person who put the whole like Star Trek Enterprise together in one whole thing, and I was just like, that person has
no life.
Fucking life whatsoever, like, to make a model like that, besides the penis jokes. But for the most part, it's one of those things where the game, you know, great. I would probably have gotten like 2 seconds in when I was trying to figure out how to do fishing. I was like, this is kind of crap. I mean, I read through everything that explained about it. And then I was like, it just doesn't want to draw the thing back in. I can't fish. I can't do anything. It's like, this is crap. And this guy has made so much fucking money off this game, it's not even funny. So let's just put it this way. It's in a 2D retrospect. So if you were to go back and play the original Doom or Duke Nukem or whatever, you could kind of like put it towards that. That's how crappy it is. But in blocks, you know, everything is a goddamn block. A chicken is a fucking block. A cow is a block. Everything's a block. It's just a block kind of setup, and I can't find to go back.
Right.
I can't go back to that. I need the actual movement, the graphics, and not this goddamn thing. I mean, when we were doing that whole interview with the guys from Novus Duratu, or whatever that...
Novus Eterno.
Novus Eterno, yeah. There's some little asshole kid that came over with one of the digital pick things or something like that, and was, like, pretending that he was hitting the computer or something like that. Like, I was like, I just wanted to go over and lay him out. I just wanted to just go... It's like, stop it, you asshole! Stop hitting the computer with that thing! That's basically he was saying, oh, look, it's so strong! I was like, yeah, let me show you what's stronger! That's what's stronger. Shut up and go home. So, yeah, for the most part, Minecraft sucks. Dumb dick. Right. I can't stand it.
Let's leave it at that, then.
Okay. So why don't we move on to the movie of the week, Dark Shadows, starring Johnny Depp, Ava Green, Michelle Pfeiffer, Chloe Morentes, I think is how you say that name.
Helen and Bonham Carter.
Yep, with special guest Alice Cooper. So this is based on this old soap opera that my parents used to watch this back when they were like younger. They used to run home from school and catch it on TV. And it follows Barnabas Collins, who is cursed to be a vampire by this witch. And then he is chained and buried for 200 years and then brought back to the surface world after these diggers come in and unbury him accidentally. So he gets worried that the Collins family is still thriving, and he comes back to help them, only to discover that the witch who first put the curse on him is now the family's rivalry.
Rival.
You know what's funny? Is the guy who played the housekeeper. Well, not, you know, the guy who helped be the caretaker. Yeah, thank you. He played Rorschach in Watchmen. When I saw him, I was like, hey, it's Rorschach! Mm-hmm. But I didn't scream it out loud, like somebody in this room usually does.
I know.
Like when they see Lenny Kravitz.
Hey, look! It's Lenny Kravitz!
No shit, the... Sherlock! Shut up and watch the movie! But yeah, for the most part, for this... I'd say this is damn near all-star cast, basically.
My favorite character in the entire movie was the old lady.
Wait, which one? Oh, yeah, the goddamn...
All she did was dust.
Well, they explained... He's like, yeah, this is a house for, like, 100 caretakers, not, like, one. You know, he's like, it's a bitch to dust, and there she is cleaning, like, one friggin', like, you know, candlestick, you know, holder.
It's all slow.
Yeah, and she's just like... She stops for a second, she looks at it, and then she keeps going. It's just...
Well, come on, there's one scene, he's dangling from the ceiling, and she's making his bed.
Yeah, it's on the bedpost, yeah.
And then, you know, he's sitting there, he's laying in with all the linen, she opens up, takes out some things, and walks away, and when he gets thrown up on, she cleans his face, looks at the floor, and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
So, she was hilarious.
Yes. But, this is a Tim Burton film.
No,
I don't. No, see that's the thing that gets me on this one. I don't think it was Tim Burton enough. I think that it really needed to be over exaggerated. I don't think the castle was over exaggerated enough, like he did in Batman. Like when he did the original Batman that he worked on and stuff like that, that was over exaggeration. This castle didn't seem like it was over exaggerated. And they said 200 rooms, and I was like, bullshit. Where?
If you told me 40 rooms,
I could give it 30 to 40 room size mansion, but I was like, 200 rooms? Yeah, we sealed off some of that. Yeah, that's why you don't want to walk over there, right? Because it's not really there.
Exactly. I mean, I understand some of the rooms, the ones, you know, there are secret passages underground.
Which was pretty fucking badass. I liked their whole little setup together. Yeah.
It's like, ding, the thing moves, werewolves move. It's like, what the... Whoa.
But for them to go in the retrospect of the 70s and whatnot to do the movie like that, I was actually pretty impressed with the clothing, the hippies especially. I have to give it to the hippies.
Yeah,
I
liked the hippies.
They got everything down pat.
Pat.
They, pat. Not patches.
Sorry. Okay, I fucked that one up. I'm sorry.
He's like, this is to tease me all day long, aren't they?
They got the right people. They got the right songs at the right time as well. That was a good thing too. There aren't going to be anybody going, "Hey, that song wasn't released in 72 or 73. That was like 3 years after that band." Derba 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 derba. No.
How about that Camaro, man? That was gorgeous.
Was that
a 72 Camaro?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure because I was thinking because it looked so nice. I was thinking that was like one of the newer ones that they actually recreated. Like I saw him on American Chopper or something like that because the father made the bikes that went the retro aspect, I guess, you know, for the Camaro and all the other bikes, like the you know, the Chevy Judge and all that other stuff. So, but for the most part, shut up. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, like the concept. I mean, they had the as I call it, the Libyan van from Back to the Future, but it's you know, the Volkswagen van camper. Mm-hmm. And they did a damn good job with that one. Just all around, the atmosphere, the environment, they did a damn good job.
And they also did a really good job, too, with, like, some of the backstories, especially those I can see the ghosts.
Yeah, that's true.
Who was it that wound up playing the mother of, like,
the son?
Of the son, David, yeah.
I couldn't tell who the hell that was. I really couldn't. Oh, actually, there's another one there. Christopher Lee. That when he played,
yes.
He played the guy that was the commander of, like, the captains of the ships and stuff like that. But when I saw him, I was like, oh, get dog, damn it, what's his name? And then it was Christopher Lee. But he's a good guy.
Yes.
But no, with that aspect, I think it was just some random woman. Like, they just threw on some strings and green-screened the shit out of her and been like, you just gotta go oogie boogie boogie and then lean over and make it seem like you're talking to the kid or something like that for a couple scenes and that's it.
Okay.
Oogie boogie boogie boogie.
Whisper, whisper, whisper. Okay, we're done. You can go. Here's your money and get the hell out. There's your crack.
Yeah.
I will work for crack.
So... What did you guys all think of everybody's performances? Because I felt like Johnny Depp really hit the nail on the head on Barnabas Collins. Just really a fish out of water from going really, from the 1700s to the 1900s.
Really? Fish out of water?
Yes.
With this movie?
Yes.
One where they own a fishing company?
Yes. And that Tim Burton also did a movie called Big Fish in a Small Pond, which yes. they also reference in the movie. We're just two big fish in a really tiny small pond.
How about that jump off the cliff? That was pretty impressive. He took that like a champ. I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, he did it twice.
He did it twice.
Champ. Yes.
He's like, okay, I'm cliff diving today.
But yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer still looks...
No, she does it.
Gorgeous as ever.
Oh, she does it.
I can compare it to a cougar.
Well, yeah, but now. she hasn't aged badly.
Yeah,
she did. I still found her creepy when she was in Batman as Catwoman.
I'm sorry, but that was the time when Happy in Pants first happened.
For you?
Yes, for me.
Not for me.
Come on, where she does all those bat flips, she goes meow, and then the whole building explodes.
I was like, hey, look at me, I'm on a trampoline doing backflips. I couldn't care less. That whole concept was not brought to me until I was just like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, Lord.
Who? Oh.
Alright, well, let's wrap this up.
Okay, yes, so population. I do want to warn people when they see this movie. I enjoyed it, but the film kind of ends abruptly, of sorts. Like, it lacks an epilogue.
Ooh, somebody's using big words today because we went to see a play.
You two went to see plays too. I would see you making big words.
I'm near dumb and retarded. Okay, I'm retarded now, so basically. I've been hitting the head too many times with a hammer.
You know, don't make me drag you to an effigy and shove you in.
Exactly. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and my big word's bigger than yours.
All right.
And I know what an effigy is.
Stop overcompensating about words.
Do you know what an effigy is?
No.
I don't care about your vernacular.
Hey, you called me out on it.
Okay, so...
God damn it.
Okay, rating out of 5, I'll give it a 4. I was going to give it a 4.5 out of 5, but then just how it ended kind of lost a couple points, in my opinion.
3.8. I'll give it to the fact towards leaning towards the 4, but it's one of those things. They had the environment, they had all that other stuff, they had the retro aspect of the actual movie, but the whole concept of the storyline didn't need a little bit of work. Just a tad.
Okay.
Tweak it. And go.
Well, I'm going to give it a 3.8.
So, average...
3.866666.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll round it up to a 3.9. This is over, 3.85.
All right, cool. All right, so let's take a fork in this podcast. Remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you'd like to talk with us about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Ambles on at Amble63. And Bluonic at Bluonic.
We're also on Facebook. Yeah. Because MySpace is dead. MySpace is dead with the door now. So, for the most part, you can just go on there. We put up all our stuff on there. I mean, also, I think we're getting the Twitter feeds up on there, too, as well. So, that's pretty sick. And, just go and check us out on there. And you can ask us straight out on that one. And we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Okay.
And good.
Check out our friends at Electric Sisterhood. Check out Geek Aggro, The Vagabonds, TPSMMA.com. All of our, wonderful friends that get punched.
Matt the Lot.
Matt loves his wad.
Yes.
And that's it.
Alright. Any upcoming events that we're going to be attending this next week or so?
No.
No, shit got canceled.
Yeah. Nothing until June.
Lots and lots of shit got canceled.
Yes.
Or people lied about it. I feel like people lied to us.
About which one?
Everything. I don't know.
We'll talk about it after the fact.
I don't don't think we had anything planned the next 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Because next week I'm showing our friends around Boston. And we'll have to put nothing scheduled in
there. Right.
Yeah.
Alright.
Okay, so let's end it. Until next time, this is King Jimmy Duck. Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But always remember, we are
the bastards.
Peace, love, and soul.